is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. How elated I am to be here. And certainly I know you're the same, to be in the land of the dying. On our way to the land of the living, God has blessed us tremendously, immeasurably, and I'm glad about it, and I know you're the same. We do ask you to pray for us and pray with us as we set our hearts to share with you the Word of God. The Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We do thank God for our dear deacon, Deacon McLean, for devoting our hearts singing and praying and reading scripture with us. Certainly that's important in such a time as this, because the word is foundational. Heaven and earth may pass, but not one jot or tittle shall pass from his word. It's always good to see Reverend Pope, and it is good to be viewed by you as we delve into the Word of God, and as you view us virtually in your prospective places. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you again this day for keeping us and blessing us to see it and to be a part of it. Now, Lord, you are the shepherd of shepherds. We shall not want, because, Lord, you are a shepherd, and you make us to lie down in green pastures, and you lead us beside still waters. Lord, we are your sheep. We desire you. We need you. We ask of you to lead and guide us and direct our hearts in such a hard and horrendous time, this season of corona pandemic. But Lord, you are the caregiver and the caretaker and the captain of our souls. And you have not brought us this far to leave us. So we will trust you and depend on you, rely on you, Father, to do what only you can. Father, we ask you, as always, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. And forgive us for sin of omission, sin of commission, sin of our head, hand, and our heart. Lord, we pray your blessings upon your people that are scattered abroad, this county, this city. Lord, the country, Lord, we need you to turn this thing around. For Lord, doctors and politicians can't do it. Lord, only you. As Deacon read, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. So you created it and you control it. Lord, free us that we may worship you. Restore us back to fellowship. That your name will be exalted in this place and exalted in our hearts. Lord, exalted in our minds. We just thank you and we love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus the Christ. And every heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Righteous living. We discovered by way of weeks ago that God wants us to live righteously. He wants us to live by his standard of right, what he has set forth as right. He wants us to live our lives accordingly. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. It is not God's desire, nor is it God's will, that we be destroyed or perish. The Bible says, but that all of us will be brought to repentance. Chapter 6 is a continuation of Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, it begins the Sermon on the Mount. And he reveals to us what righteousness looks like. It starts with attitude, and it bleeds over into our actions. Our attitudes controls our actions. He wants us to have practical righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And as I said before, it ought to be all of our desire to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we pray, we read, we study, we meditate on the Word of God so that we can spend eternity with God in heaven. So it should be all of our desires to live with God in heaven. So we need righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. He said in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." So he begins by talking about how we give. In verse 5, he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So not only should we be conscious of our giving, but we should be conscious in our praying that we are praying not to be seen of men. But then in verse 16, he says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Again, we should be conscious of how we deny ourselves in the flesh so that we don't do that or deny ourselves in the flesh to be seen of men. So our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We can't be hypocrites in what we do and expect to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father in heaven. Here it is in chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. He deals with worship by giving, but the worship by giving he deals with does not concern money or material possessions. So Jesus is teaching about giving of our hearts to God. So giving your heart to God is a way of worship and a way of into the kingdom of heaven. Hear me when I say this. God wants your heart. He wants your heart. If he doesn't have your heart, he doesn't want what's from your hand. Cain offered up a sacrifice unto God, but it was not accepted of God because he had not his heart invested in his sacrifice. God wants our heart. He wants our heart. God says to each of us, "Give me your heart." The question is not where is your treasure, but what do you treasure? Because what you treasure reveals what you spend the bulk of your time pursuing. Notice, if you will, he tells us how to invest our heart. Now, before we delve into this, let's try to get some understanding of heart. Heart is the Greek word cardia, which means the thoughts and feelings, the mind. Is the affective center of our being, the center of the personality, and it controls the intellect, emotions, and the will. In other words, the heart is the control center. Please get that. The heart is the control center. That's why the Bible says we should hide the word in our hearts. We should hide the word in our control centers so that we might not sin against the Lord. If we have the word in our heart, in our control centers, we will live a life that's pleasing to God. So tonight I want to deal with investment of the heart. Investment of heart. And gives us instructions as to how to invest our hearts. invest not your heart in the things of the earth. Invest not your heart in the things of the earth. Notice verse 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Now, understand, he's talking about how to invest the heart. He says, do not invest your heart in the accumulation of earthly riches, because it's foolish to do that. Earthly riches, things like art, silver, gold, jewels, cash, cottages, cars, cruises, etc. These things fascinate us. A lot of us have a heart that's invested in the accumulation of these things, or in the enjoyment of these things. Now, notice, if you invest your heart in the accumulation of these things, you are challenged as to holding on to or protecting the things you have accumulated. Listen, let me tell you, as a child of God, as a Christian, that should not be your main focus in life. You should not be focused mainly and solely on protecting material things, wealth, silver, gold, cash, cottages, cars, and the list goes on and on. So we're challenged. We're challenged. We have, but we are challenged to hold on to and protect the things we have today, and we spend a whole lot of time amassing things and trying to protect the things that we have amassed from loss. We spend a lot of time trying to protect things that are not ours forever. Let me say that again. We spend a whole lot of time trying to protect things that are not ours forever. Things we accumulate are not eternal. They do not go with us into heaven. You've heard that old saying that you've never seen a hearse or U-Haul following behind a hearse. We deposit the body.
That's right.
But the possessions of the person we deposit in the ground remain in the earth. So they do not go with us into heaven. Let me say that again. They do not go with us into heaven. Think about it. We get stressed out. We are worried and nervous and edgy about having and maintaining earthly treasures. But Jesus said to us, he says to us, as Christians, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He says, do not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. Are y'all with me? If you lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, you will lose them. You cannot keep anything that's temporal forever. So notice the imperfection and the insecurity of earthly treasure. Jesus said, moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. So earthly treasures have earthly enemies, moth, rust, and thieves. Now he says that moth and rust corrupt. The word corrupt has moral significance. It is used of the complete change in appearance or the complete destruction caused by the slow but sure earthly enemies. Moth and rust denotes slow loss. So slow loss. Some things we lose slowly. Thieves denote quick loss. So moth destroy food and clothing. And rust destroys metals. James chapter 5 verses 2 and 3 says, your riches have rotten and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. So moth, they eat up our food and clothing, and rust destroys our precious metals. So we had a slow loss in life. We slowly lose the things we accumulate. Nothing we gather in the earth lasts forever. Jesus said that's a poor investment, to invest your heart in something that does not last forever. He goes on to say that we suffer loss by the hands of thieves. He said thieves break in and steal. People at that time had problems securing their riches and their wealth. Their houses were mud built. No windows in the house, no locks on the doors in the house. Therefore, it was easy for the thieves to break through and steal. But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, that it is just as easy now as it was then, with all of our security systems and alarm systems. Thieves still can break in and steal. Even with the bars on windows and bars on doors, different locks. Some of us got three or four locks on one door trying to keep the thief out. And we still suffer loss. I want you to understand that thieves can come in several forms. Number one, a thief can be a burglar. A burglar, one who breaks in and quickly or instantly takes from us. But then a thief can be a banker. We put our monies in banks to be secure, and we can lose our money. A thief can be an investor. And as I was watching the market and losing money in stocks, I noticed that in this time of pandemic, that money was at a loss. Bankers and investors. But I want you to know that there's another thief that we don't consider, and it's death. Death robs us all of our earthly treasures. Let me say that again. Death robs us of all our earthly treasures. Job chapter 1 verse 21 says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Every earthly thing that we are fortunate to accumulate and amass in life will be taken from us at death. Death takes instantly. You take no earthly possessions with you when you die. Solomon, he gives respect to this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he warns us of the senselessness of seeking after earthly treasures, investing our hearts in earthly treasures. Solomon had many wives and much riches, which turned his heart from serving God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 16, he says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increase that eat them. And what good is there to the owner thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of the laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept from the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind?" He talks about how senseless it is for us to invest our hearts in seeking after worldly wealth and earthly riches. Paul warned his son Timothy of the danger of having a heart that's set on seeking worldly riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 11, he says, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Jesus, he talks about the foolishness of investing the heart. Solomon and Paul talks about the foolishness of investing the heart. He says that we are pierced through with many sorrows. If you spend all of your energy and effort and all of your time and your heart, your control center is only after the pursuit of worldly riches, you're in bad spiritual shape. He says you never have enough. You know, that question is asked, how much is enough? Just a little bit more. And so you're never satisfied in pursuit of earthly riches. And he says, you pursue earthly riches with such little understanding of how temporal earthly riches are. He says they'll be taken away. He says moth, rust, and thieves will take them, will ruin them. And so he says, lay not up. Verse 19, lay not up, lay not up. Verse 20, he says, but lay up. Lay up treasures indeed, but in the right place. Let me say that again. Jesus in verse 19 says, lay not up treasures on earth. But in verse 20, he says, but lay up treasures in heaven. So lay up treasure indeed, but in the right place. Make sure you invest your heart in the right place. God. So Jesus is telling us to invest our heart in heaven. Invest our hearts in heaven. Jesus said, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. There's a safe place for the heart. There are no safe places in the earth, but there's a safe place for the heart. And Jesus said the safe place for heart investment is heaven. Notice it says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Paul was caught up in the third heaven. And he received revelation that was too great to utter. He was caught up in the third heaven. Most people believe that heaven is beyond the sky. That is up. We do know that is up. But where is heaven? W.F. Adeney said heaven is wherever God's presence is manifest and enjoyed. Oh God. So to lay up treasure in heaven is to store it with God. So Jesus is telling us to store our heart with God. Store our hearts with God. So if heaven is wherever God's presence is manifest and enjoyed, we are to invest our hearts with God. Store it with God. To have your possessions in Him, to entrust your all to Him, to know that when you go to God, you will find your wealth. He says, store it with God. I remember the old church and how they would sing about storing up timber. When they sing the song and when they pray the prayers and when they hear preaching that they were sending up timber. You know, when you think about that, when you invest your heart, you're sending your heart to God. And I told us on the onset of this that God wants your heart. That is, if He doesn't have your heart, He doesn't want anything from your hand. And listen, if He doesn't have your heart, anything you do to so-called say that you're doing it for Him, you're not doing it for Him, because He wants your heart. So to lay up treasure in heaven is to store it with God, to have your possessions in Him, to entrust your all to Him, to know that when you go to God, you will find your true wealth. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But then He says, treasures of heaven. Heaven is our treasury.
All right.
Lord, help me.
All right.
Only heavenly riches can be collected there.
Well.
Now, he doesn't want all of this stuff that we try to give him down here. You know, I said a few weeks ago in preaching about the 10 virgins, you know, there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. God doesn't want any foolishness in heaven.
All right.
Amen. No, he doesn't want any foolishness in heaven. So you can't send that up there and expect that to be there when you get there. God doesn't want foolishness in heaven.
No, sir.
You cannot store earthly riches such as clothing and cash, silver, and gold, and jewels, and cars in the heavenly treasure.
All right. Amen.
No. Heaven has no room for low treasures.
Yeah.
Filthy treasures.
Right.
Oh, heaven is a place to store up unsearchable riches. Like faith is a place to store up your faith, a place to store your love, is a place to store pardon and peace and life and gladness, purity and power. So in heaven, you won't be storing up these tangibles, the tangibles that you have in the earth. The things that make us feel good and make us boast in the earth, you know, the houses and the land and the cars. Oh, no, heaven won't be a place for you to store up that kind of stuff. But it's a place for you to store your heart, and from the heart comes faith, love, pardon, peace, life, gladness, purity, and power. But not only do I see that we should lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven, the treasures of heaven is stored in the treasury. But then notice the safety of the heavenly treasury. There is no corruption. No corruption can break in the pure atmosphere of heaven. No moth, no rust can corrupt anything in heaven. No thief can break open its mighty gates. Death is powerless to enter its realm of eternal life.
Yes, sir.
So nothing can destroy or rob us of our spiritual possessions in Christ. God Almighty. Even in heaven, he's going to give us a new body that has no expiration date. Because there's no decay in heaven.
All right.
Notice the safety of the heavenly treasury. The streets of gold and all of that, fine pearl and jasper and all of the rubies, and the water is pure. There is no impurities in heaven.
Well, thank you.
And he says it makes all the sense in Christianity for us as Christians to give of our hearts to a heavenly place. He says, invest your heart, invest your heart, invest your heart in heaven. We have become too earthly. Even in the church today, we have become too earthly. We're so crazy about this stuff that we have that we don't even give God much attention. We don't serve him as we should. We don't seek him as we should. We don't honor him as we should. We don't desire him as we should, because we got all of this earthly stuff that we are chasing after and pursuing after. And the more you get of it, the more complicated your life becomes. Because after you accumulate it, you're trying to figure out how to keep it.
Yeah.
How to keep it. Jesus says you shouldn't spend your life with your heart invested in earthly riches. He caps it off in 21, verse 21. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, if your treasury is on earth, your heart will dwell in this lower region. But if your treasury is in heaven, your heart will soar to the heights of God. Your thoughts, your very selves, dwell with what you prize most highly. Here is the greater danger than that of the disappointment of loss, and that is of the permanent degradation of a low affection. The main purpose for choosing heavenly treasure is that we may not set our affections on things of the earth, that we may have our thoughts and desires drawn up to what is heavenly. We should escape low-mindedness that gloats over earthly treasures and have a pure and heavenly heart that aims at the highest good. I leave you with Paul's words to the church of Colossae. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, set your affection on things above, choosing heavenly treasure and not on things is that on the we earth. May not set our affections on
Let
things
me say that again.
Set of your the earth affection. That we may have our
set your heart
and desires
on things above,
up to what
not
is
on things
heavenly
on the earth.
Let me say this in
closing.
Low-minded.
I think this season allows us to put in perspective
earthly treasures
what really matters.
And have a pure and heavenly heart that aims at the
you
highest good.
With plenty of money.
I leave you with Paul's words to the church of Colossae.
That you can't
come by. Chapter 3, verse 2.
The
main purpose on things
choosing
above.
Heavenly
we've been
treasure
and not on things
socially or physically separated.
We may not set our affections on things.
And in the truth
is that we may have our thoughts
is not and
desires
on things above.
It's something
not on things
that will serve
on the earth
to usher us out of
here. Let me say this in
closing.
I think this
it puts it in perspective for us that we're not
allowed to
this put in perspective.
We live in what
and have
is,
a pure
is
and
dying
heavenly heart
day.
That aims at the
you
highest
can
good.
It's dark.
Money.
I
live
in
Paul words to
it's
the church closet.
That you can't
come by.
And so all that we have
is such
an affection.
It really doesn't matter much
now
because we can't enjoy
it.
And not on things.
Socially,
but
the joy we have in Jesus.
Not set our affections.
We may not be able to go to certain places,
but we can
all
that
go
to
Him.
Set your heart
and He will
hear us
on things above.
It's
something
He will
commune
with us in our heart
on the earth
to usher us out.
He will assure us.
Minded.
I think
it
puts
it in perspective for us that we're not
allowed
to
put in perspective. That's why our affection
and have
is,
a pure
is
and
dying should be the
heart
things above.
At the you
can
see it.
We should focus our attention on
the life
to come.
Well,
that you can't
come by.
And so
all that we have
the
affection
is going to be all over.
It really doesn't matter much now
because we can't
enjoy
it with the Lord.
Socially,
but
in the joy we have in Jesus, not set our affections
to be with
Him
and each other. Listen,
invest
in your heart,
set your heart,
and He will give it to you as your blessed possession
because
it's strength.
He will
commune
with us
and
our
heart
on the earth
to usher us
out. Restlessness
and anxiety.
I put
your heart
in
the Lord.
The
Bible
says
that He
will give
us peace
and
contribute to
heaven
above.
Rest
to our soul,
which is
focused That's what we desire.
That you can't
that's what I desire.
And so all that we have
is going to be
all in the
because we can't
have this coming.
We bless people of God
and
bless your heart.
To you,
we may not be able to go to
church. Allow us to see
all the truth of life.
That's what we desire.
That you can come
to our
eyes
and so all that we have
to
see that is going to be
all in
our lives.
That our lives
will be clear
and our ways
come.
We bless
people of
God, Lord,
in
your heart.
Do you bless
your heart?
We thank you for
this moment,
this season,
that you have allowed
that we
have a
part in your
family.
That the things
that
we have
promised
to
you have a whole
promise
to follow
you. Thank you again
today.
And the things
you used to pursue
the awesome
things
you consider
to be
the most
important
share
with us
now
which is
they are
nothing
allow us
to see
all
the truth of
life because that
we need
you that you
can come
to our
eyes
and so
all that
we
need to
cut off
the truth
of
our lives
that our
lives
because
we can
cut off
this come
we bless
people of
God Lord
we need
your heart
Lord
we need
your heart
have
suffered
many
things
we suffer
all
that
you have allowed
all that
you have
offered
to us and
all your
position
but
the thing
loss
of significant
people
in our
lives
you have a whole
promise
to follow you
your man today
and the thing
you used
to pursue
the bulk
of our
lives
our
hearts
that we
find
to be in
our lives
before
the
house
of the Lord
share
with the Lord
you have found
which is
strong
and allow
us
to see
all
the
truth
of
our
lives
you have
come to the eyes
of our
sins
we
can forgive us
for having
the wrong
perspective
and the wrong
perspective.
Help
us, Father,
to
put you
first.
And we
thank you for
not just
talking about
the speech
that
you have allowed
for that
new
act
of
the
loss
of significant
people.
Let us
put you
in
your
rightful
place,
Father.
And
we
choose to
put you
more
to
the
hope
of
the
our
hearts
find
to
be
has
been
or
could
ever have
in
the
church
we have
found
that
we should
thank you,
Jesus,
that
allows
us
to
be
for
good
and
sweet
of
our soul
and
to
put
all of
us for
having
the wrong
perspective
and
the wrong
perspective.
Help
us,
Father,
to
put you
in the
church
and
we
thank you
for
not just
talking
about
the speech
that you have allowed
for
that
new
act
of
the
loss
of
the loss
of significant
people
that
has put
you
in
your
right
place
and
we thank
you
to
put
you more
to
the hope
of
our
hearts
that we
find
to be
in the
hands
of the Lord
or
could ever have
in
the
church
we
have
in time
now
which
is so
good
that
allows
us to be
the truth
of
the
Lord
we will
of our
soul
we can
put
all of
us
for
having
the wrong
perspective
and
the
wrong
perspective.
Help us,
Father,
to
put
you
first.
We thank
you for
not just
talking
about
the
speech
that you have
allowed
for
that
new
act
of
the
loss
of
significant
people
that
has
put you in
your
rightful
place,
Father,
and we thank you for
not just
talking
about
the speech
that
you have allowed
for that
new act
of the
loss of
significant
people
that
has put
you in your
rightful place,
Father,
and we thank
you
for
not just
talking
about
the speech
that you
have
allowed for
that
new act
of the loss
of significant
people that
has put you
in your
rightful place,
Father,
and we thank
you for
not just talking
about
the speech
that
you have allowed
for
that
new
act of the loss
of significant
people
that has put
you in your
rightful place,
Father, and we thank
you for
not just talking
about the speech
that you have
allowed
for
that new act
of the
loss
of
significant
people
that has put you in your
rightful place,
Father, and we thank you for not just talking about the speech that you have allowed for that new act of the loss of significant people that has put you in your rightful place, Father, and we thank you for not just talking about the speech that you have allowed for that new act of the loss of significant people that has put you in your rightful place, Father, and we thank you for not just talking about the speech that you have allowed for that new act of the loss of significant people that has put you in your rightful place, Father, and we thank you for not just talking about the speech that you have allowed for that new act of the loss of significant people that has put you in your rightful place, Father, and we thank you for not just talking about the speech that you have allowed for that new act of the loss of significant people that has put you in your rightful place, Father, and we thank you for not just talking about the speech that you have allowed for that new
Thank you.